Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we just watched Season 7, Episode 1, titled Dragonstone. Aaron, what'd you think? It's back.
It's back. I liked it. So I want to say a couple things. Number one, it started with a bang. Arya is slaughtering the entire Frey family, which is, I think, confirmation of, like, at least the result of where we thought, if you're a book reader, the Grand Northern Conspiracy was going. Kind of like the fast-forward, streamlined Cliff Notes edition.
Okay.
I like seeing Dany regain her ancestral homeland. I'm a little worried about Sansa. Learning a lot from Cersei. What did she learn?
Probably not all good things, I'm going to guess.
I thought it's interesting that the Lord of the Lights already is whispering in the Hound's ears. So that's what I think. And I got a couple other comments, obviously. What did you think?
I thought it was a solid beginning to the season. You know, they oversold me a little bit going into this season. They said, "Oh, every episode's going to be a hard home." You know, essentially,
right.
And I'm like, "This is not a hard home.
No, it's not.
It's not close to it, but." It was good. It set up a lot of stuff.
It does have an insane body count.
Yeah. And, I mean, some of the stuff was just plain awesome. Like, the Arya scene was great, and then we go over to see the White Giants.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait for those things to get into action. And, we've had all this discussion, like, oh, is Bran going to bring down the Wall, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, they seem to just gloss right the fuck over that, which surprised me. There was no talk of it at all. But does it matter when you got a bunch of undead giants pounding on it anyway?
I don't know. And no one to guard the walls. I mean, that was, I guess, what Jon is trying to take care of there in his wartime meeting of the North.
And some pretty nasty visions for the Hound.
Yeah.
He sees not good things happening at the Wall.
Yeah. Well, not just the Wall. Eastwatch by the Sea, they talk about the
castle there.
The castle all the way, which is the one there's one closer to Hardhome that John's worried about. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I, too, was like, this is a solid opener for your standard season of Game of Thrones, but, like, it's also one-seventh of everything we're going to get this year. So I guess I was surprised that none of the antagonist actually came into contact this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing that surprised me is the Jaime-Cersei relationship still seems just as strong as ever. That really shocks me coming out of last season.
Yeah.
Knowing what we know about Jaime and Cersei's actions here.
Yeah, especially with Jaime like mugging behind the throne as Euron's hitting on his, you know, his sister lady.
Yeah.
He's like, ew. And I'm like, come on, Jaime, come on.
Apparently, Euron over the break, like, lost a bunch of weight and also joined a goth rock band from the 90s. I don't know what kind of fucking pants he's wearing, but it's typo negative all the way.
Yeah, he's guyliner and some black nail polish away from being the lead singer of Nine Inch Nails.
Being the lead in, like, Queen of the Damned, pretty much.
Well, you know, that's appropriate for someone courting Cersei.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
She might be the queen of the damned.
She is. She's the damned queen. There's no possible way that she gets out of any. Like, I don't know. Maybe she'll live this season. But there's no way she makes out of story. Without reaping a healthy dose of what she's sown, which is shit. Which, by the way, so what did you think of? What did you think of Sansa and Jon?
I actually liked that scene a lot.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I found myself agreeing with Jon as far as the form. Like, you know, maybe not question my decisions right in front of everybody, but I also kind of was finding myself agreeing with Sansa as far as function. Like, maybe you should punish the houses that betrayed you and give their lands and titles to somebody else.
Yeah, I thought...
Like, what the hell? What kind of message are you sending to your people?
Yeah, you're... Well... I mean, if Little John had been there, if the other dude who betrayed him, like, it would have gone way different. The MC, would have been off the hook.
He just been, it's like little John, please rise. What? It had taken like 30 minutes just in that one scene.
But if Little John Umber had been there, it would have been very different, right? He would have killed Little John.
Small John, like, yeah, sure.
Small John, is that his name?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Young John, young Jeezy.
Young Jeezy, uh-huh.
If he had been there, he would have killed him, right, for his betrayal. But I think he makes a valid point, too. Like, okay, so, like, is it the actions of the house or is it the actions of one person that he wants to punish? And I think he couldn't punish the actions of that person. They were already dead.
Right.
So,
and as Sans pointed out, dead fighting your armies.
Right, right.
I mean, it's yeah. I
he
mean,
needs to reward, I guess, the people who fight for him in other ways.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Like, give them, you know, the Red Keep or something.
No, I
give them Casterly Rock when he finally takes it.
Yeah, I just feel like that Sans has got some points there, and maybe John would do well to listen to. And the thing is, like, I mean, I talked a lot about in the preview podcast. Like, I really hope we don't see a Sansa and John betrayal standoff schism. Yeah. And I feel like that they're at least hinting towards that. Now, that might be some just like, you know, to keep us fans a Twitter on Twitter. But I saw a little bit more conflict there than I was supposing. I also like the fact that Tormund is still hot for Brienne.
Brienne still has
no fucking clue what to do with it.
I think Tormund just wants to fight Brienne. Honestly, he's so
fight,
jealous
fuck,
of
whatever
of
like,
Pod.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think maybe he equivocates mm-hmm. those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word for it?
I don't know. I don't think Brienne has ever been on the other end of, like, I don't think, like, she's wanted men before. Like, you know, she really had this torch for Renly Baratheon.
Right.
I don't know that she's ever been courted before. Like, in jest plenty of times to her humiliation. But, like, the idea of, like, you know, what do I do if a man likes me? I don't know if she's equipped for that. But I do find it very entertaining.
Yeah, it's good watching.
Yeah, it's very good watching.
You know what is not good watching?
What's that?
Sam cleaning up all that shit.
Dude,
just about got sick during
that
scene.
The shit montage, especially, like, I had this roller coaster of emotions. Like, I'm like, okay, this is done. And then it just kept on going. I'm like, all right, I'm back on board.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was a little bit of, I don't know, what do they call it, a stomp? You know, where they were, like, making music with the chamber pots Sam's retching and this. Plus, like, the shit and the stew were running together, and it's like,
I didn't know which was which at a point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That and was...
I don't know, because, like, I literally just came right over here after I got done watching the show, but I think the Archmaester that that Sam was speaking to is played by the same guy that plays Professor Slugworth, I think is his name, on Harry Potter. He transforms into a sofa. Jim Broadbent, I think, is his name, which is interesting. So I make this is a little meta, but anytime they cast like a fairly well-known and recognizable name, I think, oh, that's this guy's going to be a major player in this season. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because he's also he didn't shut the door on Sam for his forbidden, you know, request, but he also didn't grant them. And then of course Sam just, you know, he steals the keys and serves himself. So
right, it felt very much like the Citadel has this winter cried wolf too many times sort of attitude about winter. Like, oh, they always say it's gonna be the end.
Well, I mean, he's like, what he said is he's right. Like, you know, they said
until
they...
he's not right.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's the problem.
Exactly. But, like, you know, these guys are men of science, and you know, that's the thing. Like, oh, well, you thought World War One is gonna be the end, then World War Two is gonna be the end, then fucking the Cold War is gonna be the end, and we're still here.
Yeah.
Did you find that the thing I found was that Sam's discovery of the mother lode of Dragonglass on Dragonstone was a bit anticlimactic? Surely.
Yes.
Surely that's not the only thing he's going to discover there.
Yep.
Because if so, like, if that's the first of all, it's the first episode of season 7. No fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, like, Stan and the damn show told us this. Stannis told us this like 2 seasons ago.
Right.
So this isn't new information.
Yeah, I'm with you. That did not feel like the big reveal I've been waiting for.
Right. So he's got to be, like, again, with Jim Broadbent up there dissecting dudes and weighing livers, and the fact that he just got access, there's got to be something else there. And I'm not sure, you know, my bet was that he's going to discover the formula for Valyrian steel or whatever, because it does seem like that is a major plot point this season. We need an ace up our sleeve for the White Walkers, and we know that Obsidian does it. The other thing that we as show watchers know is that Valyrian steel does it. So yeah, I guess that would be a nice get for Sam if he discovers this big cache of Dragonglass, which and then discovers the formula for Valyrian steel. Problem, Daenerys just landed on Dragonstone.
Yeah.
She has no idea anything up north is happening.
Yeah, I feel like that raven that Sam sends is meant to push Jon toward Dany. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, big cash in Dragonstone.
And that's the other thing is, like, I was listening to the Ringer podcast, The Watch, with Andy and Chris, and they were talking about, like, one of the things they're excited about is, you think about how many big names in Game of Thrones have never actually had scenes together.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like if, like, you know, Hank and Walt had not met until the six. But, you know, Daenerys and Jon never met.
Uh-huh.
Never had scenes together. That's, like, an exciting possibility. And I feel like Sam sending that raven is going to start that path to start to converge.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah.
It's the logical conclusion. How'd you feel about the scene with Dany returning home?
I thought it would. See, I mean, I'm always wondering. Like, I leaned over my wife when we were watching on the couch. I'm like, is Emilia Clarke actually good?
Okay.
Because I've fought with that since season one. Like, I think she's really good at some things, but, like, she's really a blank canvas in this episode, where it's like she's, you know, she's got this vacant expression as she lands on the island and touches the soil and looks at the throne. And I guess, like, I'm pinning my expectations and my thoughts onto her, but, like, I don't know, expecting a little bit more emotion.
I think I was expecting a little more resistance, honestly. Like, I didn't expect her to just come to Westeros and land and have a castle.
I guess that's
true. I expected her to have to take something in Westeros, but she didn't. And so when she landed, to me, it rang like the smallest bit hollow, even though I got caught up in the moment, too. I mean,
it is
just
a
like
bit,
her.
You're right. That's like
the music
kinda
is swelling. How are you not? Yeah. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I wish there was some kind of resistance.
Right. Like, didn't Stannis leave a Castilian or something?
I mean, like, you know, Jaime knew they were going to be over there. I wish timing had worked out to where he could have provided some resistance to
her. Right. Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
No, I feel you on that. Although I thought it was a fairly good hammer to have her sitting there at the, you know, like,
yeah,
especially as a book reader, and you're looking at, like, this is the table that her great 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 grandfather Aegon the Conqueror carved his master vision of one united Westeros with no borders.
Yeah,
and she's sitting at the head of it, and she's got her counselors aside, and she's like, "Shall we begin?" That was pretty good, and I was kind of shocked because I guess I wasn't ready for an episode to be over. I thought it felt like it was about a 30-minute long episode, but sure enough, it was an hour.
Oh, and that scene is even better than that because she walks into the throne room.
Right.
She walks right past the throne.
Right.
She doesn't sit down like we all expect her to.
Right.
Which,
do you think that's some foreshadowing?
I think, yeah, maybe you're right. Like, I'm starting to think more about your theory that she's the breaking the wheel means no more rulers of Westeros in the typical, like, king, queen kind of way.
Right. And not just that, but also foreshadowing the fact that she, because I, that was one of my questions, like, when her and Jon inevitably meet, or they exchange ravens, and Jon's like, hey, yo, cool for conquering, but hey, we got the, you know, these ice zombies and ice giants. We could use some fire-breathing dragons up here.
Yeah.
I feel like that leads credence to the fact that she is not overly concerned with the Iron Throne so much as, like, taking care of business.
Yeah.
Whatever that business may be.
Absolutely.
So I felt good about that. Now, did you get the pathos of the Hound when he was going up to the little farmer's croft?
Yeah, so they did the previously on.
Oh, gosh.
Which really helped.
I literally got home, flipped on the TV, because I ran way late. It took me way longer than I thought to float down this fucking river. I took my family on this river float adventure. I came home. I, like, roared into my driveway. I'm soaking wet. I rip off my trunks. I throw on some pajama pants. I sit down, and it's literally the HBO static. I'm like, yes, I didn't miss anything.
Nice.
I missed all the previously on. So you got the whole...
They did, yeah. They showed that scene where he killed the guy and stole the silver when he was traveling with Arya. So, yeah, that made perfect sense.
So I thought that was kind of neat, the fact that he's like, oh, these people don't want to be bothered. But then it also seems like the Lord of Light... He's granting the Hound visions the way he would Melisandre or any of the other.
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit. And I think it surprised Beric as well.
Well, also, like, they set up, like, some really good questions. Like, why is Beric special? What does the Lord of Light want him to do?
Yeah.
All
good questions.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that scene did really well to show how far the Hound has come, right? From being the villain to
right.
someone you can root for and someone right. who
I did
it, feels guilt and understands that he's messed up.
Although it does kind of, if I take my own medicine, I talked a lot about on the second preview podcast about how I'm kind of selling my Jamie redemption shares short. Because I feel like he, you know, at the end of the day, he has to answer for his crimes, right? Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, you know, little light incest with the sister and a kid gets in the way, throw him out the window, no biggie.
Uh-huh.
You got your arm cut off, you had some nice moments in the hot tub with Brienne, you're cool now. The Hound's committed a lot of crimes, too.
Yeah.
Like, and purely of not something in desperate need, he just did it. Like, he just stole the money from that family. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about the shares of the Hound right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm buying. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm buying or I'm selling. What did you think? So, How comfortable are you with the fact that Ed Sheeran is canonically a Game of Thrones character now?
Ed Sheeran?
You don't know who Ed Sheeran is? He's the singer-songwriter of our generation, of somebody's generation. He was the Lannister
Was he? Okay.
And
I was going to say, that guy's a pretty good singer.
And the camera kept on like, hey, Ed Sheeran, hey,
I thought
Ed
it was Sheeran. I don't think I've ever heard it pronounced.
Is it Sheeran? It might be.
That's what
I thought. First of all, I can't pronounce shit.
So it confused me when you said it, but
Ed Sheeran.
I don't know that I've ever heard it pronounced. I've read it.
And 9 times out of 10, if I only hear or if I only read a pronunciation or if I only read a word, I'll mispronounce it. So
here's the thing: I don't know enough about the guy. I don't think I've ever heard his music. If I have, I didn't know it was him.
You can't have lived the last 5 years of that,
yeah. Right? But I couldn't name one of his songs, so I'm cool with it. I don't care.
A lot of people seem like he's got a baller life. He's got this scar on his cheek now that I guess. He was partying with like one of the royal family members, and their sword came off the wall, and there was some dueling, and he got his face slit open by a sword from a prince. Like, that's pretty cool.
All right,
maybe he is a Game of Thrones character.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like something that, you know, Ed of House Sheeran would do. Yeah. Okay. What else do we want to talk about? I feel like we've covered it. What do you think that we're going to start the next episode with Arya have gutted all those dudes? Because I felt like this was Arya starting to rekindle her humanity. Like, not all Lannisters. Like,
right.
You've had a rum run of luck with these Lannisters, but these are just kids that were no different from you and have a fairly smart take on the world. Are you really going to gut these guys like a fish? On the other hand, it wouldn't shock me if we started next episode and they're all strung up in the trees like a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gutted them and she's whistling the reins of Castamere as she goes on to King's Landing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how far they're going to go with trying to... I feel like it's a fake out for the audience. I don't think Arya is going to be like suddenly this wholesome kid again.
No.
That's in her past. I think they might be trying to fake us out a little bit with that. So I don't know how far they're going to go with it, but it's not working on me. It's not working.
No, yeah, I mean,
I want Arya to be the badass.
She killed like 100 Freys this episode. Yeah. That was pretty sweet. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I saw the poison coming. I did not actually see the Arya ripping the Walder Frey skin off.
Do you think? Do you think she saved Walder Frey's wife just to deliver the message?
Yeah, that's probably one reason. But she probably also views them as innocents.
Yeah,
I don't know that she needs to kill these innocent people.
And that's, I guess. That's kind of one of the things I'm low-key hoping for the end of Game of Thrones, is that Arya finds some peace.
Yeah.
Because she just didn't have a chance, man. She was literally thrown to the wolves.
She was.
And, you know, like a lot of people... It's funny because there's this tension in the audience where, like, it's really cool to see Arya kicking ass, but then you think this is a very damaged little girl...
Yeah,
who is spending her humanity to do these things?
Littlefinger is going to come up to her. But are you happy?
get the fuck out of here! Are you happy, Littlefinger? Are you anything?
Right. Jesus Christ. He won't be happy till he's on the throne, and that's not going
to
happen.
I won't be happy till he's in the ground. How many episodes do you think it's going to take for him to get there?
The same number of episodes it takes Arya to get to him. Seriously, Arya's got to kill him. Arya's got to kill him and take his face.
That's the other shocker thing is that I thought that we were going to get. A Stark reunion in Winterfell. that was one of the things I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, she's not
the preseason cast. Like I thought that she would at least stop by Winterfell, and there'd be and Bran would get there about the same time, and
yeah.
You know, we'd have the four Stark. Four Stark children. I guess Jon still is a Stark, even if he's a Targaryen too. Mm-hmm. And everything would be cool.
Nah, I mean, her going to King's Landing doesn't really
yeah.
bode well for my Littlefinger face theory.
Yeah. Did you see...
Or so, wish.
I don't want to talk about it now. We'll save that for the spoiler cast. But did you see the very short preview, but intriguing preview for next week?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, we'll have to watch that before we do our spoiler cast on Friday, because I got a whole can full of gas to talk about just off the 15-second
cool
preview that they had.
I think that's about all I got for the instant take. We're going to obviously talk a lot more in depth about this, do a scene-by-scene recap on Tuesday, so tune in for that if you're interested.
And I probably don't have to tell you this, but also if you got any hot takes, send it to GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. There's also a forum thread that you can discuss with your fellow fans. And if you want to keep up with all the stuff we're doing, baldmove.com is a great resource, but also we are on social media, facebook.com/baldmove and Twitter @baldmove.
Yeah,
it has started. Winter's here. And that's the other cool thing. I thought that winter's manifestly, like, maybe not so much in King's Landing, but even in Old Town, like, you can tell that, like, it's a little more overcast.
It's turning into Cold Town.
It's turning into Cold Town. That's right. The silver bullet is pulled in the station. Coors Light for everybody. That would be a pretty funny Super Bowl commercial. Like everybody's chilling and you know, Westeros, and then the Night King comes in on the silver bullet.
Right. Woo, woo, man, I know
the ice
could
and
make
wind
that
start swirling around, and
they've got the money for that.
Yeah,
just do it.
Come on, man. Come on. Make Super Bowl commercials great again. All right. Well, we'll see you Tuesday, and until then, I'm Aaron.
Yeah, I'm Jim.
See you later. This is the instant take, right?
The whole
currency of the instant take is to get it fast. You're jonesing. You're coming down. You're trying to smoke a cigarette after the Game of Thrones. Your hands are shaking. You need a fix, right? Go to the instant take. But, you know, it's not out till like close to 11. Hey, if you were a club member at club.baldmove.com, you could watch us record it live. You can't get faster than that unless you're Bran and you're going to warg into a tree and go back to your father at the Tower of Joy and see us record the podcast 30 years ago or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe you'll fuck up Hodor's brain. Don't want to do that. Just stick with the club. Club.baldmove.com. Not only do you have awesome features like watching us live record the podcast, there's a whole bunch of other extra content. There's ad-free feeds. You don't kill Hodor, you monster. And you support independent podcasting. The only way we can do these three podcasts, Game of Thrones every week, that you presumably enjoy, is because of the generous support from our fans. So go to club.baldmove.com. Hey, we're running a sale right now just for Game of Thrones. We got a discount for our yearly memberships. Save up to 25% if you go to club.baldmove.com. Do it.